Sit back and relax while you listen to Train Kickers Podcast. I'm Dave, and along with my co-hosts Dan and Steve, we'll take you all around the world of miniature wargaming. On tonight's episode, we're continuing our dive going back through the special characters for Horus Heresy. Again, the reason we're doing this, one, it was a patron request, and we do try to meet the request whenever possible. But also, two, we realized that, you know, when we originally talked about this stuff, the game was brand new. We hadn't necessarily played very many games with it, if games at all, really, at that sort of point. And thoughts and feelings change over time. So this is a project that we're going back through. We are ranking all of them. The way we're ranking them, if you're watching, you can see it, but otherwise it'll explain a little bit of our scheme. Essentially, it's an S, A, B, C, and say, essentially, F tier. The way we title it's a little bit different because that sounds boring to me. So S is our too much for casual. It's the things that are just exceptionally good, both when you think about their rules, what they do for the army, what they do for the legion, how strong they are, all those things put together, it is above and beyond what you would expect. That's our S tier. A tier is to let your opponent know. So it's perfectly fair, but it's probably a little bit above what you typically see. So it's a good idea for them to know, because again, we look at this game as a little bit more of a friendly thing. Our B tier is, hey, why not for an event? It's perfectly fine. They help you. Nothing too great and wondrous that they do for you. You're not going to feel bad for taking them, but you're also not going to feel like you've made the world's greatest decision for having them either. Under that, a C is that you just love the fluff. There's something about the character that you like, or the character is okay, but they're sorely lacking for one reason or another. Lowest tier, the F tier, is that they need the Emperor's Mercy. Their rules just don't work. The character is worse than what you may get if you don't spend the extra points to get a special named character, whatever it may be for that. So our goal is to rank the different legions. Our goal tonight is to get through Night Lords as well as World Eaters. We'll see exactly where we get with those. We are starting a little bit late. Schedules will get fixed more over time, but other content-wise, if you have only been listening to the podcast form of this, put out a bunch of stuff related to Conquest. That is currently only on YouTube because a lot of it depends on visuals. Not all of it. I'll probably do a cut of the different things together, but some of it's more visual-based, so I didn't necessarily put them out in the other format as well. Also, should have some battle reports coming up. I'm hopefully recording something this weekend, if not the weekend after. I know I'm recording multiple games as well, but I'm hoping to get at least something in this weekend. We kind of have to see how that is. We do have a 40k tournament this weekend, but it's a doubles, and my audio equipment we have is only two mics, so I don't think it's necessarily going to work well that way. So I don't think we're going to record anything out of that particular one. Might try it for one a game and just see how it goes and see if I can get something useful out, but we'll see about that. All right, that is related to all the things we have now, so on with the show. All right, gentlemen, how are you on this this evening, this Wednesday?
I'm doing good. I can't wait for the doubles tournament. I know I did one in Toy Wiz, and that was hella fun.
You now actually have someone to play with.
Yes, I do have a partner. Can't wait. It actually should be fun. It is a Dan. Wait, do you know Dan?
No, he doesn't know Finest Dan.
No, there's another Dan. Grey Knight's Dan.
There's a lot of Dans.
Yeah, we actually like
four Dans. So we have Dan with the gold army and Dan with the silver army. Is that right?
Pretty much. Yes. Although I'm silver, so it doesn't help.
So it's custodies and custodies before we had custodies.
So yes. So what I'm hearing is you get a white shirt. You do like Daredevil sort of thing, a D and then another D off center for call yourself like double D or D squared. That's what I'm hearing.
Pretty much.
You're not going to do it, coward. All right. All right. We'll get into a bit of this. Maybe pretty soon we should do one where we just chit chat a little bit more of what's been going on, but we start a little bit late. We don't want to have like 30 minutes of other stuff and then we end up being up half the night trying to get into all of this. So, all right. They said goal tonight is to go through Night Lords as well as World Eaters with exactly the scheme that I've already discussed that I will not go back through again. We'll explain where everyone sits, obviously, but if you're watching, I have what was done previously up on there, which one thing I will say about Tier Maker, it's a nice resource. However, it only saves itself in the form of what you originally had. So I have weird issues with it not having the pictures again. So I have to load some stuff back in when my computer like restarts itself and other things like that. So you can modify the template, But I do find sometimes I have issues with that. So sometimes I have to reload some stuff. So sometimes I have to look at the end of our video to figure out where everything was when it gives me a problem. So, but all the previous ones are in there. Keep in mind the other thing we do. By the end of the trader side, there has to be at least, realistically, probably three entries with the amount we may have. We said two, but it's probably three entries per each. So someone's got to be at the top and someone must be at the bottom. Because otherwise, everyone's going to sit in the middle and that's boring. All right, when we think about these, does anyone have any favorites? Anyone got any darlings?
I have played against Sevatar, if anything.
Okay.
So I could take Sevatar if you want.
Yeah, that's fine when we
get to. He's kind of actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to do them in general the order that we have them listed in for ourselves, because that makes it easier. So that makes Flaymaster Maldrum first.
So I'll do Flaymaster then, because that way I can get the Sevatar at the end.
That's fine. Now, do you realize, from compared to our document, compared to the legacies, he does have one small update. I will talk about it when you get to it.
Got it.
It doesn't matter until a little bit, and I'll explain that one little thing.
Got it. Okay, perfect. So Flaymaster, 125 points. He's an apothecary, Primus Medicae.
Oh, I'm sorry. How do you pronounce his name? How's he pronounced?
Flaymaster Maldrum Lansahai.
Okay. Yeah.
Now I don't know what I said.
No, that's probably what you said. No, before we started, just so people know, Dan was sitting here, he's like, oh, here's this guy, and it went for a couple minutes of us trying to figure it out.
I'm just going to say Lansahai. I'm pretty sure it's Lansahai, but whatever. So he's a Primus Medicae, so he's going to be an apothecary, I think. It's weird with Night Lords.
Yes. Essentially, the update is that if your detachment requires a Primus Medicae, he counts as one.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he's movement 7, weapon skill 5, ballistic skill 5, strength and toughness 4, 3 wounds, which is higher than most centurions because he's supposed to be centurion status. Okay.
Yes.
Initiative 5, 2 attacks, 8 leadership, 3 of save. So he's got 3 wounds, which is actually pretty nice. He's got an Arcantic pistol, which, hey, that's a shot on a 3 of red. Okay. He's got red Jaka, frag crack grenades, power armor. He's got a 5 up invulnerable with refractor fields, and then Narphagia. He's also unfit for command. Lol. He's elite, so I'm going to assume that he can't be chosen as a warlord. Probably 99% what it's going to be.
Yes.
And that's about it. So the Red Jaka is a melee weapon. It is strength 3, AP 3, melee, murder strike 5 up, and a specialist weapon. Okay. I mean, neat.
You sound so thrilled.
It's cool. It's got murder strike 5 up instead of the rending for a power sword. So,
and if you're because you're for a Medicae, what are you naturally armed with? Did you have any cool equipment just for being that?
I think chain swords. I mean, you could probably purchase something for him because he's a centurion.
Yeah, right. But just a chain sword. Yeah, but then you'd be spending more points. This guy is about 20 points more than a normal Medicae. Normal Medicae is 105.
So he's got a murderous weapon at strength 3, but it's already murder strike 5 up. So you're going to be wounding Marines on 5 up anyway. Actually, you probably don't even want to accept the challenge because he's got AP 3. So he could just kind of strike down TAC Marines. And then at the end of each turn, if Maldrum Lansahai has less than his starting number of wounds, but has not been removed as a casualty and has joined a unit that has at least one of the model with the Night Lord special rule, the controlling player may roll a D6 on a 4 up. Lansahai regains a wound that he lost earlier in the battle. If Maldrum Lansahai regains a wound in this way, a model with the Night Lord versus rule suffers a wound with no armor save or damage mitigation rolls allowed. So invulnerable saves are allowed.
Yeah, he uses them to heal himself.
That's actually hilarious. But he's so useless. Like, okay, so if he had a Narthesium. Narthesium, thank you. I don't know why I wasn't forgetting the name. If he had an Arthesium, then I'd say, all right, this guy's solid B tier. Awesome. He's an apothecary. He can heal himself at the cost of his own squad.
He does have a little extra about his feel no pain.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Additionally, all models of the infantry cavalry unit have the... Oh, sorry.
Yep.
I did not even see...
He actually gets the rules.
I must have assumed that was fluff.
No.
I don't know why I caught that.
No, sorry, it's not guys. In italics. They italicized the fluff.
Yeah, sorry. My mind's late. If he's with models that are infantry or cavalry, he has they gain the feel no pain 5 up special rule. Obviously, the models in artillery site are not affected and don't gain this role. Oh, sorry. So then I like this guy. And it's a field of pain five up. Does this stack with Heart of the Legion? Is that what it's called? Steve would know this.
It would be Heart of the Legion.
It stacks with the Narthazim specifically. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, I mean, I like this guy. He's got a solid melee weapon, right? Because if you're going to run him attack Marines or some sort of Terminator squad, maybe, right? Hmm. So you're going to be fighting against Marines, unless you're going against Custodians or Demons or something. But even Demons are toughness four. So yeah, you're going to be wounding most stuff on fours, which is, or fives, which is fine because it's murder strike five up, right? It's AP three, so you're cutting through most armor unless you're also hitting Terminators. Your squad gets a five up feel no pain and he can heal himself. Wait, 30K, you're going to have to remind me. 30K, you can allocate a wound to a sergeant, but he can only, if he takes one wound, you could stop allocating to him, right?
No, you kind of. Until he dies.
So, a lot of sergeants are only one wound. Let's assume for a second hit, two wound sergeant. You may allocate. Things like that are fine. But keep in mind, if someone is in a character that if they start taking wounds from a pool, they have to keep taking from the pool until the pool is exhausted or they die. If you survive out long enough from that pool, then you can stop allocating to them. So if you're talking about the single wound to him, technically, yes, that he does to a guy, you could actually do that.
Because that's kind of neat. Like maybe you get hit with like a plasma shot or maybe like three plasma shots, right? Or maybe like two wound, take him on him. And then the other shots go into the rest of his squad. So he can be used as kind of like a shield, if you will.
Yeah, his extra wound will help with that as well. And it's only 50-50 you heal back a wound, but with the extra wound, that will in general mean you got a probably closer to like a five wound model realistically, if you're willing to put the damage on yourself.
And if he's with Cataphractor Squad, they have a four up invul against the Narfiji anyway.
Yes.
So I like this guy a lot. I give him a solid B, possibly an A. For 125 points, how much is the Primus Medicaid?
105.
For 20 more points? Yeah. No, I like this guy a lot. Extra wound. Can heal himself on a four up and has a murderous strike weapon.
Give me 1 second. All right, sorry. Dog was making weird noises, so I pauses there for a moment.
No, you're good. No, I was just going to say, like, for 20 more points, this dude has an extra wound, a murderous strike weapon, and can heal himself. Let's say very high B, low case A.
Personally, I wouldn't put him in A. I don't think he is better than what he was, and he's not bad price because he's reasonably cheap, but I don't know if I'm so thrilled with what he does that, like, oh man, I want to make sure this guy's absolutely there. I'll be honest, I don't take a lot of Primus Medicaids. I don't take a lot of Apothecaries. That's just not the kind of thing that I do. For me personally.
Definitely high B, though.
Really help longevity, though.
It does. I know it totally does. That just might be me. I just don't do it. Maybe I need to do it more often. But for whatever reason, I just personally don't. How well or fitting is it for this army in terms of that? Because that's the part we have to also think about.
Honestly, sticking with some Atramentar? I'm pretty sure I said that name maybe correctly. Yeah, Atramentar. What are their Terminators called? God damn it. Is that Atramentar?
Yeah.
It's Kantakar.
They have Kantakar, which are the made-up ones from the end of Heresy 1.
Ah, that's right. Okay.
Atramentar, which are the famous ones from the novels.
Yeah.
Got it. So Kantakar squads. Because Kantakar squads, if I remember correctly, don't want to go against other Terminators, if I remember this correctly.
No, they Their big don't. Thing is they have chain blades and like flamers or Volkites.
No Night Lord wants to fight a Terminator. That would be a fair fight. And they don't like that.
Yeah. That's true.
So honestly, he fits well because you put him in a Comptecare squad, right? Now they have four feel no pain and his AP three cuts through what they're cutting through, right? I like this guy. I say definitely not an auto include, but definitely not a bad include.
What are you thinking, Steve?
125 points. He's only got that three up save.
That is actually the other thing to keep in mind. His save is worse.
With Artificer armor. Artificer armor, so he has a 2-up, would only be like 55, 60 points. Yeah. How you kid him out. I mean, his knife is cool, but that's a tough sell. He goes in Terminators, though, which is a nice thing. I guess that saves you from needing a Primus Medicae, but is that basically the same points?
It's about 20 more for him. You get the extra wound, but you do lose that save.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. I'd take him for a spin, see how he runs. I mean, Architect Pistol's a cool upgrade. If you're running Terminators, I think he has a place.
Mm.
If you're not, I don't think he does.
Probably not for the cost. Because remember, if you're running Night Lords, you're probably wanting or already running large amounts of unit or large units, I should say, because you want to try to outnumber people. So like your TAC squads or TAC equivalent type squads are not going to be little small ones. They're going to be like 20 mans anyway. So you might as well put an Apothecary in there for just less points. I don't know. Yeah, I think is fine. He's reasonably good, but he's nothing super special. I think that's okay. Now I'm in a different spot in the book. Where do I need to be? That's why.
The next one should be a PDF dude as well.
Yes. Yes, there are. There's Chiron. Multiple PDF guys. Which actually then I can just look at the PDF to do it. So Charon, which, you know, not surprising that the name of a Night Lord's character is also the name of the boatman.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so we take a look at this one. All right, so he is 150 points. He is the coward, which is great. I'm
I do love fluffy rules. I hope he has fluffy rules for being a coward.
Yeah, he better. All right, he is taking a look at his stat line. Actually, reasonably good. So, it moves 7, of course. He's weapon skill 6, so he's got a little bit closer to the Praetor levels. Strength, toughness, 4 costs, obviously. He's 3 wounds. Initiative 5 with 4 attacks. Leadership 9, 3 up save. So, he's a weird mishmash of things. He has a Volkite Serpenta. He has Melta Bombs on him, frying crack grenades, which is fine. He has a power armor. And then he has, obviously, his other special war gear. His normal rules, he is a master of the Legion, unlike the last one. He is relentless as well as stubborn. He has that coward. He has a warlord trait. And, of course, he's a traitor. How could he be anything otherwise? So, if he's your warlord, you get Aberrant Bravery. If Charon's controlling player is controlling fewer objectives than their opponent, Charon and any Night Lord's unit within 12 inches of him gain the stubborn special rule. He's already stubborn, so okay. In addition, any armors who has him makes an extra reaction in the movement phase. So, if you're playing objectives and your opponent has more within 12-inch bubble of stubborn. Now, again, we've said this before. You probably should be playing missions that have objectives or usually have objectives. The base book missions don't. The base book missions honestly aren't really that great. The ones they put out later in Siege of Chthonia and whatever they're going to give us in the newest book, hopefully much better missions in all of those. But that's super, super dependent.
Yeah.
And you then need to keep him around a bunch of stuff. A 12-inch bubble is big, but you still then you want to probably keep him somewhat centralized and keep a bunch of people around him and all. So I don't know about that. He has a Bloody Aegis, which gives him a 4-up invulnerable save, increases to a 3-up in close combat. In addition, if he's in a challenge, to hit rolls a 1 made by the opponent player for attacks directed against him result in a single strength 4 AP dash hit wound being inflicted upon the model engaged in the challenge. So if you roll a 1 to hit him, you take a strength 4 auto hit. They're just telling you the strength because it won't double you out then.
Does this follow your initiative?
Would it occur your initiative? I would assume it occurs at the initiative, the opponent who swings at him, yes.
Exactly. Huh. Okay.
It would have to. It doesn't say it's at a different initiative, so it would have to be essentially simultaneous.
Okay.
The coward, once he has lost at least a single wound, he gets feel no pain 4 up. When he is reduced to 1 wound remaining, he becomes feel no pain 3 up.
That's great.
What was his cowardice then?
Now I kind of you do the Revenant. I'm reading the fluff.
Yeah,
that's the Revenant hilarious.
It's a chain weapon. It's strength plus 2, so strength 6, AP 3, which is fine for someone in a 3-up armor save. You're not necessarily throwing them at the greatest things ever. It's melee shred, breaching on a 5, and mastercrafted. So you're getting the reroll. He's sitting naturally on 4 attacks, 5 on the charge. He's going to be at strength 6. He has shred, so he gets to reroll those wounds. Gives you a better shot at that breaching on the 5. But at strength 6, a lot of the stuff you're going to be wounding on 2s anyway, if it's marine type. And shred lets you reroll fails, not reroll whatever you want, so you can't go hunting. Although if you are hitting something heavier like a contemptor, well, now you got a shot, because now those 5s, which are the only thing you need, become breaching. You're getting that AP2 that you need. So why is he a coward? What do you do?
It doesn't say in the fluff, sadly. It does say, like, he was the Dark Angels were fighting, and they were on the Nightfall, which is the Legion's flagship. He was super brave, restored Cryptoria of the Shadow Council. Not sure why he's called the coward. It has to be in the books then. But damn, that's actually a pretty damn cool rule.
It talks about the fact that he was lost and presumed dead. I don't know if they're calling him a coward because they literally couldn't find him.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, that maybe he pretended to be dead, but I don't know. That's all it says about it.
Yeah. Someone in the comments. I don't know. There's way too many books.
Someone in the comments plays Night Lords. I know. If someone plays Night Lords and knows why this guy's called the coward, we are interested, because that's a damn cool rule.
Yeah.
That is a damn cool rule.
So you do have to lose your first wound. And he's 3 wounds. So when you're on 2 wounds, you got 4 up. When you're on to your last wound, you got a 3 up. A very, very neat rule. I'm not sure how good it is. The reason being, you're only 3 wounds. You're still only toughness 4. So you better not get doubled out, because you get nothing then. Not that you get feeling the pain anyway, but you get nothing. But if you take the first one, now you have an extra save. Then you get a little bit more. But you're only on a 3 up armor, which means the weapons that maybe are truly going to hurt you, you might not be getting a save against anyway, because they're probably, like, say, AP3. I do think it's really neat. I don't think it's great. Same thing as his warlord trait. It talks about how essentially his first command, it says in the blade, his first command, it was essentially destroyed. So a lot of the stuff was destroyed. I think that's why he's a coward. He couldn't do enough to win the battle. Unless, there might be other things. But it says in there, hey, you got your 4 up invul, you got 3 up in challenges, all of that. That stuff's really good. His warlord trait, though, hey, if I'm losing off of objectives, I'm stubborn. That's cool. I hope we're running objectives. I hope I'm not doing well to get it. And the extra reaction in the movement phase is, like, my least favorite. I, in general, like them pretty much anywhere else. And, like, their special reaction is assault phase, so it wasn't even that, which would have been fitting. He has melt bombs at least, which is nice. I don't know. I'm not super sold on this guy. I like him more than the last guy. One, I think he's more fun. I don't know if he's actually more useful, because feel no pain to the squad might be better than feel no pain on this guy, because I have to be taking wounds on him or in a challenge. Now, if you can get him into a challenge, yeah, that's actually pretty good. Though still, I've had plenty of cases where, you know, an iron hands, you know, guy with special bird, 3-up invul save is standing there, and you fail that save out of strength 8, boom, you're gone. Like, your feel no pain is nice if you can get it. Your 3-up invul is really nice if you make it. So, what do you guys think? I don't know. This weapon's pretty good too, though.
I like him. I like him a lot. He might be a solid A for me. Maybe not as a warlord, I hate to be that way.
I would not make him not a warlord.
Because his warlord trait sucked, but like as a secondary, like combat lord, I like him.
You know, I would not take him for a warlord.
Yeah, for sure. I like him.
What are your thoughts, Steve?
The 3-up save again is killing me.
Yeah. That's the part that's rough. Like, okay, he's good in a challenge, but 3-up save, you better make your invuls.
Power sword is messing him up.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it's a 3-up invul, but, ugh. You know. All right, a 3-up invul is pretty serviceable. Any opponent worth fighting will put him on invul anyway.
Yeah.
Just don't be outnumbered, says the person giving advice to Night Lords. Like, don't get buried in attacks.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, that's Night Lord 101.
I'd run him.
He's palpable. I like him.
Hide, stay away from Volkites, for love of God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just heal Mel. Jesus Christ. This guy.
Even when he's on his other three, essentially a 3-up rerollable, that ain't going to save you. Yeah, I wouldn't use him as my warlord, though, because I like some of the other traits a good bit better. Even if you don't want to take the, like, say, warmonger, because you have to fight a loyalist. Jeddak Clan Lord, giving yourself counterattack and stuff like that, that's super fitting for you. You get a better, it gives you a movement phase reaction as well. But I do kind of like that more than just the pure on stubborn. And again, you need to have very special missions to have it. If you don't have those special missions and you're not, you have less objectives, you got to have multiple conditions to care about it. You might not.
Yeah.
So where are we wanting to put this man? Man.
It's either B or A for me. He's just solid, so that's why I'm saying B or A.
What do you think, Steve? Where should we stick a Night Lord where the sun does not shine?
I mean, A is where you have to start telling your opponent. He's like borderline A to B, I feel.
All right.
Like, he has some really cool stuff that could catch someone off guard, but it's not like he's... You know what, though? There's nothing special about him because Imperial Fists do the same damn thing, having a 3-up invul HQ.
Other people can get the 3-up invul HQs. It's not unheard of.
So, you know what? He's a B because he doesn't break the game
at all. I'll put him there. I agree. He doesn't break it. All right. That puts Steve to talk about, what's the next dude?
The Naked Mole.
Yeah. Nacrid the Mole. That's an unfortunate name.
Right. That guy's mother did not love him. I could tell.
That's why he became a Night Lord.
Yeah. Nacrid Thole. Faceless Prince, Master of the Cross of Bone. Edgy. All right. So 185 points gets you a Praetor stat line.
Yep.
But with worse leadership.
Much worse.
Hey, we finally have a 2-up save, though. That's nice. That's nice. And I think he gets extra initiative. Yeah. Initiative 6 instead of 5.
Yeah, it's a little faster.
Okay. Okay. We've got a Volkite Serpenta, a Nostrum and Flay Whip, the Devil's Due, and you got an Iron Halo for a 4-up invul. Master of the Legion, Relentless, Counterattack 1, Fear 1, Valor Shadow, which I assume is to be a Warlord trait, and he's locked into the Traitor alignment. Valor Shadow. No, this is not a Warlord trait. Okay. No. So, Valor Shadow. Okay, so this guy can't be sniped, is the short version.
Yes.
And if he's killed, then on a 5-up, he doesn't kill. He actually just ran away and hid. So it doesn't give up VP victory points for dying. That's funny. Okay. I'm with it so far. The Flay Whip. Strength user, AP 4. Melee, breaching, six up, electro charge, web of steel, and specialist. So electro charge says that model that suffers an unsafe wound from it reduces its initiative characteristic until one, to the end of the controlling player's next turn.
Not convincing me at all.
Yeah.
Not convincing me, though. You have to suffer an unsaved wound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On an AP4 that only breaches on a 6.
And only matters for multi-wound models.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not feeling that. All right, what else do we have? Web of Steel. Model with melee weapon with special rule for all of its attacks make a special attack. It's each enemy model from a unit that's locked in combat within 2 inches of him. Using the profile. But you don't get the electro charge special rule. So he has an AoE attack. I feel like that's going to be a lot more useful than whatever his...
2 inches is a large margin, too. That's actually quite large.
Okay, so he's your crowd control
guy. 32 mil base, right?
AP4 is good for taking out Solar Ox.
Mechanicum. Thalex.
Yeah. Actually, let's see. Then we have the Devil's Dew, which is another power weapon. So he has other options for weapons. This is strength plus 2. AP 2. Unwieldy, Devil's Dew, Murderous Strike, 6 up, Mastercrafted. And the Devil's Dew says that you cut your initiative in half. Sorry, enemy models in base contact are at half initiative. Right? Hold on.
No, that's not what it says.
Read this again.
Read the whole thing.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes.
Hold on.
Still waiting. Hold on for one more day.
So many words at once. Okay.
Whole
so
sentences
if
worth.
You reduce your enemy's initiative characteristic.
Or if it has its initiative reduced.
Yeah.
By effect of weapons special or special rules.
Then you get an extra attack against it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
Here's what happens. An enemy is in contact with him. If the enemy's initiative is reduced for whatever reason, whether it's because the enemy's wielding an unwieldy weapon or a special rule that you do or anything like that, if their initiative is reduced, you get an extra attack versus them. And that attack is made immediately before the enemy model would attack, and it uses the Devil's Dew. So you get to swing. If their initiative is being knocked down at all, you get to swing once at them before they go. That's what it does.
Is that once in addition to choosing this weapon?
Yes, it's an additional attack.
That's okay.
And now it says if an enemy model, so would our assumption be it's only one of them or if it was multiple? There's nothing in here that says one.
It says the enemy model.
They're using a power fist. And giving themselves unwieldy to fight initiative step one. No, but the characteristic's not changing. They just fight at step one.
No.
No, that would happen because the weapon is causing...
No, they fight at step one, like how Emperor's Children fight one higher.
No, initiative gets reduced to one for
anyone. Anyone have blue candy?
I got it.
Well, put this way. Otherwise, this rule is useless and will never work.
I'll check it. It's unwieldy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not even going to be on here, is it?
Reduces it.
I don't know why I'm checking.
It should be.
It's a core rule.
Otherwise,
unwieldy. Yes, it is. So, Dave, I hate to tell you this.
I don't care what the rule says.
A model attacking with the weapon piles in and fights at initiative step one. Oh, initiative step one.
Yeah.
But their initiative characteristic is not reduced.
Then his rule is useless and is never used for anything.
Rule is useless, yeah. No, his rule isn't useless.
It's simple. If you're wielding unwieldy, the intention is you do it. This is from the legacies. We know very well they're not careful with their wording.
Yes. No, and I have to agree. It's you're fighting at initiative step one, meaning you're reducing your initiative step six. That's how I would read it.
Because otherwise this is only useful, if you already blinded them?
Or if, I guess, you whipped them.
But you wouldn't, because when you're in the combat, that's in your melee. So, I guess what? Yeah, you whip them and then get them with this? Wound. Yeah, I guess that works, but I don't know. That just seems... You're paying 185 points for this guy. If he... if he doesn't get that one extra shot, it's like, then I don't know. It just doesn't feel like you're giving him any reason to exist. I don't know. I guess technically, if you want to play it that way, yeah, you'd have to hit him with the electroshock at initiative. Yeah. And if it works, I don't
like that way, though.
No, because it's garbage. Terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Now, the real question is if an enemy model in base contact. So does that mean if he's surrounded by six Terminators, does this asshole get one attack against each Terminator? And I would say yes.
Yeah, because it's not the. So I would say yes. I would say it's any enemy model that fits this. Because let's face it, they say die instead of dice. Roll,
yes.
So roll three that die.
Model has to lose initiative.
Yes.
So if that's to say like Terminators.
But here's the thing. Any model that's in engagement range can get allocated the wound. So you allocate it to the guys that are 2 inches away, not the guys in base to base. And then this, again, does not work.
No, because it's if an enemy model... Well,
in base contact.
In base contact. So let's say he gets swamped by three Terminators, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get three attacks against those models because it does say they have to against
or
those.
Just use a base attacks characteristic of four. Because nothing says he can't use this just as a weapon.
No, I know. So you use it as a weapon. And then before the three Terminators swing, I get one attack against one attack against the other, one attack against the other.
Not quite, because you're unwieldy with this weapon.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. This happens before the unwieldy.
Nope.
Oh, that's right. You know what I mean. Sorry, I reversed it. Yeah. So you get one attack, one attack, one attack. And then if he survives, boom, he gets to swing his unwieldy weapon.
Well, then wieldies might be simultaneous in your example because the opponent's also at one.
Oh, true. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right?
What are you trying to accomplish?
What I'm saying is, let's say
this rule simply doesn't work. Because all you have to do to shut it down is have models not in base contact.
You have to base contact in 30K.
Now, okay, Dan's not understanding. You guys are speaking two different things. Here's what Steve is talking about. He's saying the theoretical plan that that maybe they're highlighting here that I think is garbage, but their plan is that you'd use the whip at initiative because he's a good initiative. Mm-hmm. Hey, that guy next to me took a wound. Hey, now he's going to go to I1 because he took a wound and say he's multiple wounds. So now I'm going to devil's do him before he gets the swing. And what Steve is saying, the problem is if you're hitting into the unit, you could allocate it. So I'll allocate it to models who are not in base contact.
Understood. Yep. Now, in my example, I'm going against Terminators. Steve's example, he's going against like fucking
literally anything else.
Veterans.
Or Terminators. Can we Terminators?
Yeah, there's Terminators who are on I1.
All Terminators have power fist, you're right. Oh, yeah, that's really dumb. And I hate that.
It's terrible.
That's
the rule might as well not be there.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say.
The units, so many things are one wound and just die.
Yeah.
Or if it's multiple wounds, you're only hitting one model anyway.
Okay.
So you don't go one wound, one wound, one wound. You go
flavor-wise,
one, two dead.
Flavor-wise, I love this. Like, I could see where they're going with this, right? 100%. But I could see why it doesn't work, and that kind of hurts. Damn.
What I will say.
Any
is
rule
if
that requires you to do wounds to a model to go off, unless it's designed for fighting against dreadnoughts, the rule might as well not exist.
Yeah,
and this ain't good for that. The way I will put it is, if we do a rules as written rather than again. There's always this idea of rules written versus rules intended. You never know the intention because none of us work for GW. So we don't truly know what they ever intend. But we make reasonable assumptions under, you know, a prefacing of a fun game that's meant to be, you know, a cooperative battle between two people. Neither person supposed to be able to say, you know, like, I got this and that just screws you over. Like, that's never the intention. If we go a rules as written, this guy is garbage. In every way imaginable. And he's garbage because, much like Steve said, his whip will never hurt someone in a way that will make the Devil's Due go off.
Yeah.
And the Devil's Due writing is only of the characteristic, which an unwieldy weapon isn't technically modifying. So if you play exactly as he's written, no. Just no. Because he's 185 points. He's very, very expensive. His weapon is fine, but again, it's, you know, And again, AP2, it's kind of nice and stuff like that. But if you want that for cheaper, I could just get you a Centurion with the Paragon Blade. And I'm going to be fairly similar in that. And I'm not going to go at I1. And his other weapon doesn't make me feel all super cool and awesome about it. Now, if you play him, and he has counterattack, that's nice. His fear, he's actually, the fear part is very, very good. But if you play him more of like, probably the way he's meant to be, he's better than that. But otherwise, I think he's pretty low. Where do people want him?
Because we still got to put him somewhere. That rule doesn't work, honestly.
Yes. By the way it's written, it doesn't work at all.
Yeah, I know. And it's just, and it's because I could, again, I could see what they want to do with the rule. It's just.
So.
It's going to be C or D. Probably D.
I would say by the way the rules are written, he absolutely needs some mercy. And the mercy that he needs is that it just says if you modify the initiative. And then that with fear. Now maybe I got some options. Or if it was like the weapon, he allocates it. If he had precision strikes, then he gets to choose who takes the wounds, which means I could put it on the Terminators hanging out next to me. And if they take that wound, now they're at I1, and now my weapon gets to swing afterwards and before them and all that. He needs a little something. There's a couple somethings he could take, but if he got any of them, he'd be better. But he's too expensive. At 185, he's just not doing much. Other than fear. And don't they already have some stuff for fear?
Yeah, they got tons. They're leaders, and I think a warlord trait was one of them.
They could just buy it.
Yeah, I would say, I think they can just get it. I don't remember which. Price, I remember that. That's awesome. Trophies of Judgment. So if they're a character, they can just have fear for 10 points. So that's not even super special. It's nice, but it's not doing them anything super special. So womp womp, I think, for this guy.
Yeah, no, it is a womp womp.
Hey, someone had to be at the bottom.
No, that's true. It just sucks that he's... It sucks that he's... I don't know. Again, I love the rule. It just doesn't
playable, work. But overcosted, I think, yes. Is the way to put it.
Yes.
Damn, that is a cool weapon. Rule, though. That is a really cool
kind of rule, outclass, though. But it's a neat weapon.
That is such a cool rule.
Yeah.
And I wish it worked.
Not everyone needs to be amazing in every way or in the same exact way.
I don't even know how to,
boring.
The sad part is, like, I'm normally really good with, like, fixing stuff. I actually have no idea how to fix this.
Oh, it's simple. You give him precision strikes, and okay. You make it where if the initiative is modified, not their characteristic. There you go. Fixes him. Because now he could tag the people that he wants. And then he'll get that, you know, that murder strike one swing before they get to go.
Got it.
That alone will do it.
All right. Ready for Savitar?
I am ready.
The bastard. God, I hate this dude. Savitar, 220 points. Prince of Crows, all that. Oh, God. I was playing against him with my mech. And mech is not fearless. They're not stubborn sometimes, so it kind of anyway, 220 points, movement 7, although he's got, I think, a jump pack, so it doesn't really matter. Weapon skill 7, ballistic skill 5, strength and toughness 4, 3 wounds, initiative 6, 4 attacks, leadership 10, 2 up save. He's got a bolt pistol, lol, Knight's Whisper, artificial armor, iron hailer, frag and crack grenades, and he's got a slew of special rules, including Master of the Legion. He also has fear 2, which is very nice. 12 inch bubble, right, for fear?
Yeah. Fear is a 12-inch bubble.
Precision strikes 4 up, dirty fighter, bloody murder, just a whole bunch of stuff, dark dreams. We'll talk about all that. So, first of all, warlord trait. He's the master of the Atramentar. Basically, any units of Legion Cataphracti Terminators and Legion Tartarus Terminator squads included in the same attachment as Savitar gain the Deep Strike special rule. Savitar himself does not. When any units of Legion Cataphracti or Tartarus Kentenkar Terminators that are part of the same detachment as Savitar included as part of a Deep Strike assault that does not include Savitar, they gain the preferred enemy everything special rule for the duration of the turn in which they are deployed. In addition, you gain additional movement phase. This is quite possibly the strongest warlord trait I've seen on a special character. Hands down. He blanket gives his Terminators Deep Strike, which, okay, how do I TLDR why Deep Strike is so powerful? Deep Strike, you can this edition, you could charge out of it, and
that alone does it.
Yeah, that and the, but the first squad that Deep Strikes is also pretty much there. Like that doesn't you roll not miscast. I've been playing way too much Old World. Jesus Christ. What's the roll of one called?
Scatter?
No, mishap. Is it mishap?
Probably mishap, but that's not exactly a thing anymore.
Yeah, but you get deployed somewhere else. But that's what I'm saying. Like that, it's not as Deep Strike is really, really, really powerful this edition. And you're doing it with Terminators, which yikes. All right. On top of that, those Terminators that don't have Sevatar in them get preferred enemy everything on the duration they turn they are deployed. This is the literal definition of they're coming down and they are fucking up whatever they want.
Those Terminators, don't they already have Deep Strike though?
No, Terminators do not have Deep Strike.
Adamantar Terminators do.
Atramentar?
Yes.
But Atramentar are not included in this. It's Contikar.
Oh, it's ones that are not those? Oh, it's literally all the other types.
When any units of Legion Cataphractic Terminators, Tardis Terminators, or Contenkar Terminators that are part of the same detachment,
oh, Contenkar, my apologies.
But does not include Sevatar.
Yeah, my apologies.
It's Contenkar, not Atramentar.
Yeah, it's all the other ones that don't have it because
they're Atramentar Deep Strike anyway. Yeah. Yeah. So they get preferred enemy, which for those who don't know, preferred enemy lets you reroll ones on hits and wounds, and it's everything. So it's not limited to like preferred enemy. I don't know, legions or preferred enemy blood angels. No, no, no. Preferred enemy, you hate everything. And it's reroll once to hit and wound. That is insanity, in my opinion. And then on top of that, an additional reaction in the movement phase, which is cool. It's like the second strongest one, in my opinion.
Which one are you putting third then?
I don't like assault one.
You don't like to be able to shoot people before they attack you? I do. I shoot them all the time.
Maybe because I play armies that don't have Mechanicum.
Get guns. You know,
Mechanicum, the plasma I have. But damn, that is a good damn Warlord trait. Holy crap. Like, you guys can disagree, but.
Are you forgetting about Brett? Imperial Fist?
He probably is.
What is Brett doing? I can't remember.
He buffs Phalanx Warders again.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah, Deep Strike, Terminators for free. Amazing. Amazing. And also dirty as hell. Like, that is definitely tell your opponent you're taking him just for that alone. Deep Strike, 30 goddamn Terminators. When engaged in a challenge with a model whose weapon skill is 5 or more, Sevatar gains the instant death special rule on all attacks made in that challenge.
Yep.
Hope you have Eternal Warrior, fool. The only thing this does not affect if you have Eternal Warrior, and the only special characters that have Eternal Warrior, to my knowledge, are the Imperial Fist dude. I forgot his name. Jesus Christ.
Sigismund. I know
he's Sigismund. And then a Tribune in the Custodians. And the only reason and I know Primarchs. That is because... Well, no, I'm using... Because we're talking about special characters, and I'm... Even though a Tribune's unnamed, a Tribune is pretty much a special character at that point, if you're taking him. Damn, though. Instant death? Christ, on a stick. He also has dark dreams. He has access to shadows of the past and future psychic power, which we'll talk about in a bit. But he gains no other disciplines, psychic powers, or psychic weapons. So he does get this one psychic power he knows. At the start of any assault phase, a psychic check may be made for Sevatar by the controlling player. This psychic check must be made against the leadership 7, so it's 50-50 shot, or less if it's night fighting, which... does matter because of Night Lords. If the check is passed, Sevatar gains +1 weapon skill and attacks for the duration of that assault phase. If the check's failed, he suffers the Perils of the Warp. But now Perils of the Warp, you can just pass off to your squad, so who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Oh no, one of my 2 wound dudes take D3 wounds. I lose a dude or a dude and a half. Okay. For a chance for 1+ weapon skill and attack, that's what? Brings him to 5 attacks, weapon skill 8? Ew. Then let's look at his weapon. Since he gets instant death if he's in a challenge. How about if he's not in a challenge? How good is his weapon? By the way, he has a bolt pistol, right? Is that what he has? So bolt pistol is not a specialist weapon.
No, I just wanted to check. Is not specialist.
So let's just real quick. Is this a specialist weapon? No. This is not a specialist. Oh, but it's two-handed. Good. Yeah. All right. So Knight's Whisper, +2 strength, So strength 6, AP 2, melee, two-handed, duelist's edge. So if it is a challenge, he gets plus 1 initiative.
Yes.
Plus 1 initiative. Murder strike 6 up and mastercrafted. Okay, so...
He wants to be in a challenge anyway, because then he's
in be a challenge anyway. But listen, if he's not in the challenge, still strength 6, AP 2, that's still not bad.
That's very good.
He has striking out initiative. That's really good. This dude's a monster. Jesus Christ. The only thing holding him back is not Eternal Warrior, but who gives a shit?
If you're instant deathing other people, as long as you're not going against an Eternal Warrior, you probably don't care so much.
Yeah. Like, my every character, even the demons, because you now start getting instant death, right? And most demon toughness is 6 or 7. You're doing D3 wounds against models that have only like 5 or 4 wounds. Oof, this guy's nasty. And even like his special rules work, but damn, deep strike on all your Terminator squads, bro. Jesus Christ. And preferred enemy. Deep strike's great, but also the preferred enemy. Jesus Christ. Also, side note on why I wanted to say this before about deep strike. The reason deep strike is so powerful, and I know this because I've been guilty of doing this, even though it's in the rules and I hate saying it like that. When you deep strike, you can, if your deep strike sucks, you can always chain your Terminators back to where you want to go.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So this is I don't like it, but because now deep strike can get shot at by augury scanners,
and plus slush one additional
one additional intercept. So it is kind of needed sometimes, but what you do is you deep strike. I don't know if you can see my thing. Let me open up Zoom so maybe you can see my thing. So yeah, you deep strike one dude here, right? And let's say the enemy you wanted over here, right? But you deep struck all the way over here. You just chain your guys 2 inches like this. So if you have a 10-man unit deep striking, you essentially have 20 inches of line back to where you want it to go. Or your custodians, 3 inches each, whatever. No, this guy is definitely S tier. 100%. 100% S tier. The deep strike threw him already into A tier, right? Mm. Maybe S because the deep strike. And it's a blanket. It's not even D3 units. It's just all your Terminators. Enjoy. Jesus Christ.
What unit does he go with?
He
has bloody murder. So if you want to get that rule, you got to go in the unit with it, like a terror squad.
Yeah, I'd say terror squad or night raptor squad. He doesn't want to be with the Terminators deep striking.
No, well he's
got his own. He's got his own job. Yeah, he's got his own job. Put him with the. Oh, do I put him with the night raptors or the terrors? The terrors have a fear one, so that's kind of useless in my opinion. But they have preferred enemy, and that confers to him.
Does he have preferred raptors enemy? Have fear one as well.
Okay, then the terror squad does have preferred enemy. So I would put him with the terror squad because then he gets reroll ones on his hits and wounds. Because preferred enemy absolutely confers. And they have infiltrate. Can they take...
He doesn't, so the infiltrate won't help. Infiltrate does not confer.
Got it, okay.
Also, he doesn't have a jump pack.
No, he'd be slower, but that's all right.
Who gets shit? Yeah, put him back. But the infiltrate, that sucks. But they do have I don't know where I'd put him, honestly. I had a choice, terror.
I'd probably put him with the terror squad just because he's not as fast as a jump pack, so this way you're not really worried about that. Yeah. You're gonna get bloody murder. It's easier to get bloody murder because you'll have your Terminators come in, have him remotely close. That way when they take their pinning tests, the fear is there. If they're pinned, bloody murder is gonna give you the extra attack. It gives you the extra modifier on the charge as well, but I'm more worried about the attacks.
He gets preferred enemy. So now he's rerolling ones on hits and wounds. Just, oh, God. Ugh, this guy's S tier. There's actually no doubt in my mind. I wouldn't be able to move into it, like A tier without like some sort of, yeah, no. This guy's definitely S tier.
It's not that expensive at 220. That's not too bad.
No, he's a bargain. He's really, really good. Anyone have other thoughts on this dude, or is he just going straight to S?
No, that's fine with me. Don't
break the game.
What happened? I'm sorry. Don't break the game.
I don't think he breaks the game. I don't know if it's S.
I don't think S necessarily has to mean you break the game, but it's like, because again, we have to get multiple people up there, because otherwise, you know, everyone sits in the middle and that's boring.
It's not that he breaks it, Steve. Imagine if I brought him without telling you that I'm bringing him, and I deep strike 30 turp. Yeah, that's why. And it's not that even that. So that would make him A tier. I think his weapons kick him up to the S tier, especially if he's in a challenge. That's what I think brings him to that S tier. He's already in A tier. The instant death on his weapons if he's in a challenge, just beautiful. I think that's what kicks him up there.
All right, he could be S tier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that he breaks it.
Someone has to be. We have to get things up there no matter what. Same thing, some people have to be at the bottom no matter what.
Also, next dude's definitely going to be S tier as well, in my opinion. Because I think I know who's next.
Karn's next.
Yep. Okay.
S tier because he
breaks the game. He actually breaks the game. So we'll get to him. But So yeah, I would say he's A tier, very high A tier, but the S tier comes in with the instant death on his weapons in a challenge. That kicks him.
All right. All right. Well, that gets it done for him. All right. So speaking of Karn, we'll get to him. I think I'm next in the order. I'm gonna do it either way. All right, so Karn the Bloody, he is essentially the betrayer, although depending on timing of when you do it, he may not truly be betraying yet, but kind of betraying. So he's 175 points, move 7, of course. He's weapon skill 7, so good, essentially almost Primarch level weapon skills. Blitz skill 5, I don't care about that. Strength and toughness 4 with 3 wounds, initiative 5, 4 attacks. He's got his 10 leadership. He's got his 2 up save, of course. He has a plasma pistol, frag and crack grenades. He's got a 2 up, 4 up because he has the iron halo. His other is a weapon, of course, we'll talk about. He has relentless. He is a master of the legion. He has rampage 3.
Ooh.
Ooh. So that 4 attacks is more likely like a 7. I mean, in case it's precision strikes, 4 up. So on 4s, he gets to choose who's getting hit. He's, of course, a traitor, and he has a warlord trait. If he's your warlord, his trait is that no enemy unit may declare a reaction against a charge made by a unit that includes Karn the Bloody. Unless the unit is targeted by the charge includes a model, that's a Primarch. So only Primarchs can react against him. In addition, you get an extra reaction in the movement phase. So a big part of this game, if someone's going to charge at you or do anything like that, is the fact that you shoot them first. Or if you're a legion that does something else, hey, they get the charge instead, or whatever it must may be, you don't get any of that. I've absolutely seen this guy, he lines up versus the thing you don't want to charge. You say your sun killers.
And then you just wreck.
You saw this happen to me, Dave.
Yes, I watched it happen to you with a bunch of guys with plasma.
The plasma myrmidons were like, oh no.
Yeah.
And you just also, he's not 175, Dave. Actually 210.
Yes, because you for extra 35 points, you can exchange his weapon for Gorechild.
Which you do.
So his weapon currently, it's plus 1 strength, so strength 5, AP 3. It's melee, shred, so reroll the wounds, rending on a 4, murder strike on a 6.
It's rending 4.
Yeah. We need Gorechild, which that's
I got under Gorechild. Angron,
right?
I got you, So Gorechild, for 35 points, a strength plus 1, strength 5, AP 2, okay.
So better AP.
Armor Bane, melee, murderous strike 3 up with shred.
Yeah.
You pay the 35 points.
Yeah, they shouldn't bother even putting that. Now notice he actually has no other rules. Not that he needs them, but he is one of the simplest. He is honed to a razor's edge of what this man does. And what he does is kill, especially with Rampage 3.
Jesus Christ. It's Rampage 3 is because you put him with he can't go. You don't put him with the Terminators. You put him with the I forgot what they're called.
Red guys
with the Phalanx blades. No. They take the Phalanx blades. Is it Rampagers? Oh, it's gonna drive me up the wall now.
Rampagers?
No. Who are the damn it.
Look at it. You have
I know, I'm looking at it right now. But it doesn't say phalanx blades.
The Rampagers have two. Can take one Kadir weapon
or two phalanx blades. Yeah, you put them with phalanx blades because phalanx blades are AP dash, strength 4, rending 4 up.
This is the correct move.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no other answer. He can't go with the Terminators. I don't care what the Red Hand Assault Squad does. You put him with Rampagers. You take 10 of them, or 20 of them. I don't even know. No, sorry. Oh, you take 15. Fuck you, GW. God damn it. Why are you 15 again? You take 15 of them with Phalanx Blades. They charge. They get 5 attacks apiece at Strength 4, Rending 4 up, and that's after he gets to go. I don't think anything in the game that survives that. I can do the math, but I don't want to. There's nothing in the game that survives. No, there's nothing in the game that survives that.
Not even Younglings.
Not even. So custodians are what? Weapon skill 5 at max, unless you're, you know, not majority weapon skill, right? So majority weapon skill 5. Yeah, there is literally nothing in the game that survives this. Not even a Demon Sovereign at what? Demon Sovereign's weapon skill 7, so you hit me on 5s, but you're tossing in 3-4 attacks on the charge. 5 on the charge, sorry, because 5 times 15 is... Oh, hold on.
Dave, you could be doing this. Take away bonus charge attacks.
Demons could do that. So
they react and charge you.
Okay, so let's do then three times.
I put it in one of my other videos. You can go through a little bit, but that whole, if I do this, you can't turn. Well, no, my unit does this thing. Like, there is units that can do some stuff to this. Uh-huh. However, the average unit, yes, he's getting through just about anything once.
So no, for the same amount of points, a Demon Sovereign cannot survive, even though it's being hit on 5s. Because it's going to get wounded 15, so it's getting 15 wounds in at Rend 4 up. That's what it is. On a 4 up save, I save 7 of those, right? 7.5 of those. He still dies. Now, let's say I spike the saves. He's got 2 wounds left.
All
right. What's I didn't even initiative? Toss in Karns. Oh, higher than you. Okay. But the sergeant challenges him. I already took the sergeant's attacks out. You because he's a character. So you challenge with the sergeant. I swing at the sergeant, absolutely destroy him. The rest of the squad and Karn murder. Not even. I think Karn murders him alone, by the way, because a murderous strike 3 up. So, but the squad will kill him alone on sheer number of attacks. And that was me reducing the attacks because let's say I passed hold the line. There is
you can't pass hold the line.
No, oh yeah, because he's Karn in there. Can't even hold the line. Why did I take away attacks? So yeah, no. There is nothing in this game that survives.
So individual models, no. But I don't want
to. The only way to stop this is to go first, blow up the transport, and kill everyone inside with extreme prejudice.
Maybe custodians because they're initiative 5.
Nah,
I don't think I could kill 15 rampagers though. Because they're just going to toss in 4 brand attacks and have a 6 spinvol. Yeah, I got nothing. I got nothing on my side that can kill this squad.
Well, this is... Okay, in close combat, it does quite well. That's assuming they all make it to close combat.
That's assuming they all make it.
In reality, no, you're going to be shooting some of them down. You're going to be removing them.
Yeah.
Because those rampagers are on 3 up saves. Now, they are multi-wound. So you are hoping to have good things.
I didn't even notice that.
You know, it's not a foregone conclusion that this thing wrecks your entire army. That's
no, it doesn't wreck the entire army, but still, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's still very, very good.
still, holy crap.
Is he just going straight to the top?
He's going straight to the top. I don't even know why we're arguing this.
Right. Number one. We're not arguing it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
If we all agree, it's not called an argument. Yeah. That's not what arguments are.
This is we're cementing the fact that he is at top for a damn good reason.
Ben's game. In half,
including with rampagers. Enjoy love, enjoy life. Oh yeah, rampagers also get a chosen warriors, Dave. So my sergeant doesn't even have to attack him. I can just
and that's the thing. Yeah, this guy definitely doesn't want to go into a chat. Karn doesn't want to be in the challenge. He'd rather do everything else. So you put him with that unit. Anyone else can take the challenges. That way he never has to, and he can just call Jesus out the models he wants.
All right, Steve, you're next. Sabran, I think is next.
Yes, Sabran is next.
Oh, he's the loyalist. That's right. I forgot about him.
Shabran Dar. 140 points gets you this Praetor stat line. So you got Artificer Armor, Bolt Pistol, the Liberator, Refractor Field, Frag and Crack. Independent character, Feel No Pain, 6 up built in. Rage 2, Loyalist, Headhunter. And if he's your Warlord, he has the generic Warlord trait, Bloody Handed. And you can take a jump back for 20 points if you want.
Okay.
When he's in a headhunter, when fighting a challenge, he has breaching 4 up. That's nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Liberator, it's his special chain axe. It gives him plus 1 strength. Melee, shred, breaching 6 up, brutal 2. Oh.
But no AP. So you're fishing for the challenge. Six. Yeah, you're fishing for the challenge. And rage 2, four. So when you charge, you get 5 attacks. Brutal
2.
6. Jeez. 6 attacks. Bolt pistol and the liberator.
Yep. I like it.
I'd 7 run. Attacks because you're... Sorry. 7 attacks because you're...
I like it. I'm running it. You can't stop me.
I like him. And take him for 20 points. Jump pack. Stick him with the... what is it? The Red Hand Destroyers. I can't remember these.
Yep.
Red Hand Destroyers. Oh, no. They have Bitter Duty. Never mind. Ignore me. So nope. close to so close
assault
to
assault squad, yeah,
yeah. You just put them in assault, assault squad.
They really need assault veterans in this game.
Are rampagers traitors?
No,
just stick with rampagers.
No, rampagers are not rampagers. Traitors.
I feel like they should have flying ramp. I am I going crazy?
I know there was a thing in 1.0. I'm pretty sure they brought it back.
Oh no, you could at 10 points things. A model. Your rampagers can fly with 2 phalanx blades. Sticking with 10, sticking with 15 flying rampagers. Screw it. Drop them out of a storm eagle.
Storm eagle.
Drop them out of a storm
eagle. Has landed.
Yeah, here jumps out 15 rampagers in this asshole.
You know you don't have to take max squads and everything. You know.
This guy.
Well, I know you can't do maximum because of the storm eagle anyway.
You know, I would take this guy. He's cool. Up in the game in half, but he is. Very good for the points you're paying.
And brutal too. That's nice.
I like that weapon a lot.
Too bad it's AP dash. I would have liked it like AP 5 or something. Chainsword, for Christ's sake.
I mean, he's AP 2 half the time in a challenge.
In a challenge. All right. As you were saying, Steve.
I like his melee weapon. That's really all he is. He's just a dude with rage and feeling pain 6 up. And a cool melee weapon. Yeah. I like this melee weapon. It has nice stats. It works great in a challenge. This is like the perfect like alternate option to a Paragon Blade. I'd run this guy absolutely no questions. I don't think he's so strong you need to inform your opponent.
No.
But I would totally run this guy. He's sick.
He's sick. He's pretty loyalist. Solid. And he's loyalist.
Alrighty. So where are we putting this this man?
B.
Let's say B.
B.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a B.
Into the middle.
So but like he's like a super playable guy. B.
Jeez, I got another apothecary? Something? Oh my god.
Well, hey.
I got all the apothecaries. Jesus Christ. Galen Sirlak.
And he of course counts again as a Primus Medicae. If it's ever required.
That's a new chain. Okay.
Yep.
So he's 150. More points than the last guy, I think. Movement 7. Yep. Weapon skill 6. BS 5. Still 3 wounds. Oh, okay. The apothecaries are thick this edition.
Yep. Theirs are.
Theirs are. Strength 4. Toughness 4. Primus Medicaid doesn't add a wound, right? Am I going crazy? Primus Medicaid doesn't add a wound.
No.
Okay. Okay. Attacks 3. Leadership 9. 2 up save. He has an artificial armor. He's got a needle pistol, an Arthiseum, flesh ripper, iron halo. He's got 2 of 4 up. Frag grenades, crack grenades, master of the legion, bitter duty. Hey, he can run with the red hand destroyer assault squads. Sacred, trust, traitor, and aberrant augmentation. All right, so let's see what we got here.
Oh, he's that guy.
What did he do? Now I'm confused. Is he the one who put the, he didn't put the needles, did he? Or not needles, the nails? Is he the nail dude?
No, but he does cool stuff. They used to have a rite of war around this guy, I think, last edition.
Ah. So Galen Sirlak is chosen as any warlords. Before any models are deployed, the controlling player may choose up to a total of 3 Legion tactical squads and Legion despoiler squads from the same detachment as Galen Sirlak to have the abhorrent augmentation. These units gain bitter duty special rules along with the plus 1 to their strength through characteristic, but suffer minus 1 to their ballistic skill and lose heart of the legion special rule in line unit subtype.
It makes you a raving madman.
Yeah, losing line sucks. You also get an additional movement phase. And then real quick, Flesh Ripper is a melee weapon. It's power weapon. Strength plus one, AP two, unwieldy and shred. Okay. I hate to do this. I don't like this dude. So if it was just minus... Yeah, if it's just plus one strength, but minus one ballistic skill, and that was it, I'd be like, okay, this guy's pretty solid B, right? He's got an unwieldy melee weapon, shred. He's got an Arthaseum. He gives bitter duty to people, right? But the fact that, I mean, you could choose, obviously, to do none, zero. But damn, you lose line, though. Why would you ever do this?
If you're Maybe if you know there's not an objective you're game, wanting to use his abilities.
Strength six?
Yeah. Strength five.
No. Strength six with the chain axe, or or the spoiler squads could take the heavy chain blades. Got the strength seven,
but you lose line. So you're playing an objective game. It's like, okay, I guess I just don't want to win.
Well, you win if they're dead.
Oh, I mean, okay, if you're playing the playbook, yeah, and not progressive scoring. I was thinking in terms of events.
Yeah.
Well, no, what you do is you design your list intending to have 1 to 2 units that go to this. Right, like one unit's like true. I'm doing this. And it's when you deploy. It's like, oh, this is my mission. I'm not doing it.
You're doing this.
Scoring.
Can you do six?
That's the mission. I'm wrecking someone.
It's three Legion and Legion of Spoiler Squads, right? Or am I reading that stupidly?
You have three units.
No, it's up to a total of three.
Tactical and spoiler.
Yeah.
God,
no, okay. I would read it as a three total.
God,
three
okay. It's just, it annoyed me that they didn't put the comma. Okay.
A total of three.
Got just it. Because okay. They have Oxford there doesn't mean they use the comma.
The commas, which is weird because they should be using Oxford commas.
Everyone should.
Yeah, I know.
Just ask the dairy trucking industry the importance of the comma.
I'm going to put this guy in C or D.
Okay.
I'm going to put him in C or D.
I don't... Wait. Oh, he does have an Arthaseum, so at least he is giving someone that. So, I wouldn't put him...
You could put him in Destroyers, which is very unique for a apothecary-type model.
Yes. I think that's what saves him from the bottom.
Yeah.
Aren't
there, like, special Destroyers super cool, too?
They do have them. The Red Hands. Let's take a look. 115 points for five of them. They got double bolt pistol, chain swords, frag crack, rag grenades, which is always nice. That's a Destroyer's Worth thing.
They could replace their chain swords for phallic blades and such. So they have super cool Destroyers.
Yeah, very expensive.
Love
though.
A little more durability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does help, but then they start getting really costly, so I'm not sure if it's. You'll do it on like a couple guys, but like squad wise, it's really not going to do you much good. It's going to be too much.
15 man squad. You give like 5 to 8 of them phallic blades. You absolutely take the thunder hammer on the unit leader and then attach this guy to them because 15 plus apothecary is as durable as 20 mathematically.
Isn't it 15? You are also then at that point. How many of the special blades did you want?
Like five.
Five.
Or so.
And then a sergeant thing. Sergeant getting what
Thunder power? Band.
Thunderhammer?
Yep.
So the squad is 360 before you tack on him. You are talking legitimately like 500 points. Don't get me wrong. It's a scary 500. But that's also a lot of points.
Yeah.
Especially, they're one wound models. Yeah, the feel no pain is great. But I just got to throw saves at you. I just got to make you roll dice. You roll enough dice, man, I'm going to knock them down. To hope I don't have Volkite. You know, hope my 200-point Volkite unit isn't seeing them.
Packs built in.
Yeah. I mean, it's super good.
Ooh.
Like, yeah, it's going to be very good. But I think you're just putting maybe too many points into like this particular breadbasket. I do think the fact that he has an Arthaseum and that he can go with units like that keeps him out of the bottom, because I think that's just a neat option for him. He's more expensive to be able to do that than some of the other options, and I think that's the reason. And also his abhorrent augmentations, if you are playing with objectives and you're making him your warlord, you're removing your ability to score. And I never believe in the idea of taking a warlord with a trait that there's games where I will not want to use it. Not even that I can't use it, that I will actively choose not to.
You just have the choice, though.
You do, but if my choice is, hey, my warlord gets to do nothing this game, then why is he my warlord? I mean, that's garbage.
I've had games where my warlord trait does absolutely nothing. Or if
but does it do nothing just because of the situation you put yourself in? Or did you actively choose, this warlord trait will be a detriment to do, I will not do it?
It's a matchup-based thing, right? So if you take Stoic Defender, right, and your opponent never lets you shoot, or they're running all Dreadnoughts or all tanks, pinning is worthless. So Stoic Defender is worthless. And that carries true for all three of the generics.
Yeah, but
Iron Warriors ones, you don't even get to use half the time, because they're either so pigeonholed or actively detrimental.
I agree. But I think that's a game design issue, and I'm not going to hold him up higher because other people have the same game design issue. You're right. Those standard warlord traits, I never look at them. Honestly, I don't look at them usually because one of the others is either better or more fluffy or more fun. And if I'm going to choose something, I don't know if I'm going to use it. I at least want it to be fun. This one, I like it overall. I do think it's very cool, but there's going to be missions where you're like, I can't use this. Or he means that for your building, I guess if you put it with the spoiler, that just means for your list building, I have to be taking a whole bunch of scoring units because I want to be able to swap three of them for cool bonuses, which isn't bad, but I don't know. I'm fine with him sitting at that that sort of C tier, because I think he's too good to put him at the very bottom.
Yeah, I'd say C. I said D or C, honestly.
Yeah, he's too good to be at the absolute bottom. He will do some stuff for you, and if you just want to have like a fun list, yeah, plus one strength to like all of my used to be scoring units, and I'm just going to come at you because I'm World Eaters and that's my job. That's going to be fun. So I think for those reasons, you will have fun with it. But he might not do you that great.
Run him against Custodes.
Yeah.
That might be fun.
Yeah, it won't be.
Wounding him on threes with a reroll? I like that.
Yeah. I think those sorts of things are perfectly fine. I don't think he gets to the bottom. But I don't want to climb him any higher. I'm not sure what he needs. Some slight changes would probably do it, but otherwise he's pretty good. Or some AP on that weapon. Again, it's good in a challenge, but if he's not in a challenge, then you need the rest of the squad to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But all right, well, that gets us to Legions. Like I said, normally we would go a bit longer, but we did end up starting a little bit late. For various reasons, I'm not going to point fingers at anyone, but we did start a little bit late. But with that, then I think going to the next one, we might start running a little bit long, for the time it is. Also for rarity, I have work early in the morning. Normally I don't on Thursdays.
Spring break. Woo.
Yeah. But at least I get paid extra for going in the morning to watch students take a test. And I do have to teach one class, but I don't remember what I'm supposed to teach him, but that doesn't matter. It'll be easy enough. But I'm covering for someone, and it's too far to bother to come home and then go back to work. I would lose too much time, so I'm just going to stay there. So since I'll be at work for like the entirety of the day, I think we will call it here. So plan from here. My hope is that... So where do we still have to get to? We got to do Death Guard, Thousand Sons, Sons of Horus, Word Bearers... And Alpha Legion. We got five of them left. My hope That's is that we bad. Can get those done in two.
Yeah, because it'll be three and two. I agree.
Yeah. And
Sons of Horus will take a while.
So how many are there in Sons of Horus?
Too many. There's too many dead.
I'm not going to check. Like, yeah, I'm now curious.
Sneezes, like two Imperial Fists
they and have six.
Sons of Horus come out.
Yeah, they literally have double like everyone else. Everyone else gets like three. They have six. Yeah,
geez.
And they all have models. And we're going to get like two or three more in the new book.
Yeah, we will.
Nice.
All right, so we might do a little bit of that out of order because I don't want to split a legion. So we might do three and then do Sons of Horus with whoever we have left at that point. But the hope is to finish this up reasonably soon. I know we've been recording for these particular episodes a little bit less often. The hope is that we get a little bit better of a schedule. But I've been trying to put out other things. Like I said, been putting out a bunch of content related to Conquest. Has some battle reports that we'll be filming somewhat soon. Hopefully maybe get up to, especially once summer hits for me, and summer hits for me in 1 month. Once summer hits, I don't work nights anymore, which means I can start making my way up to stores like near where Steve is and can actually record some games out of there with him or whoever else happens to be there. Especially because one of the stores that we go to actually has some recording stuff set up, and they said, hey, if no one's using it, it's there. Feel free to use it. So we'd like to be able to get some more of that stuff in. For things we're doing other than this, once we have this done, we're going to probably get back to just doing some more general Heresy content for a little bit. Maybe just talking about the, you know, some more, I said generalist sort of things, game turn zero sort of discussions. Just something that's a little bit more all-encompassing. We're also going to be doing some Conquest list building type episodes pretty soon, because I know after I did the updates, Steve talked about wanting to actually build some lists with it, talk about how those changes have truly affected lists that have been built or lists that he's thinking of running or anything like that. So we want to be able to do some of that pretty soon as well. I'm waiting for getting some Sorcerer Kings. I have some apparently coming from France, or they're in France. Who knows when they show up, but the rest are sitting in Dan's house. So I should be having my hands on those pretty soon. So you'll be some content related to that. My hope is to get them together, all that kind of stuff, and painted as fast as I can so I can start using them. The tournament in 2 weeks, I don't know if I can use them for that. I might be able, I know I'm allowed to, and I'm running the tournament, so I can do whatever I want. I'm not playing for prizes. So like to me, the rules don't apply to whatever I feel like doing because I can't win prizes no matter what anyway.
Well, I've been explaining at least. I've been helping you out because same people keep asking about like CP.
No, so I'm not talking about that.
Oh.
If people have questions about that, we posted it, but I'll make sure there's an official document for it. We'll explain it that day.
If you copy and paste what I wrote, just literally I wrote it on the Maplewood Discord.
Yeah, I've seen it on the Discords.
Yeah.
So if anyone is somewhat local to us, on the 7th, of April, we are having a 40K doubles tournament. We have plenty of space. It's up on BCP. I'll try to remember to attach the link to this. But otherwise, like I said, if you're local, hey, show up. It's doubles, 1,000 points a player. The big key feature is that negatives stack, bonuses don't. Everyone CPs their own. It's the easiest way to talk about it briefly. On the 14th, we are doing a conquest tournament, 2,000 points. Missions to be determined that day and all of that, of course. Sorcerer Kings are fully legal. We do the normal rules of not without in other words, not supposed to be proxying things. Since I'm not playing for any prizes, I might just do it. But like I said, I don't play. I pay and I make it where I cannot win. Since I'm the one who's running it, and that one specifically, I'm going to be playing in. So if you happen to be somewhat local to us here in New Jersey, come on out for that. And then you guys have a Heresy event in what, 2 weeks? Week and a half, technically.
That's a good question.
It's in 2 weeks.
13.
No, it's not this Saturday. It's the next week. Yeah, so 13th.
Yeah. So you guys will be like, where's that at? Toy Wiz?
Toy Wiz, yeah.
Okay.
And I think I'm finalized on bringing the demons.
Okay.
I was so split between demons and custodians, but honestly, God, I just want to bring the demons and have fun with them at a large event. Finally, on like a one-on-one kind of deal.
All right. All right, so that tells you a few things you should be seeing from us. Like I said, if you only listen to the podcast form, we put a bunch of other content out on YouTube. You can even just play it. You don't have to necessarily actively be watching it. But if it has more video stuff or visual elements, I don't always post the other side. I probably will go back and do that at some point just to get more of those things out. But we've been posting a lot more that way, so just be aware of that. All right, I think that belabors all the points for long enough. So, as always, we do thank everyone who does listen. Remember, if you want to reach out to us in a variety of ways, we have our email, trainkickersnj@gmail.com. We have our Discord. We have all of those sorts of things. We have a variety of ways to get in touch with us if you wish to. If you're picking up anything for Conquest, we do have a code in the show notes. I put it in every single show. You save 10%, helps us out as well. Helps us be able to hopefully get different things, and make sure that this thing is actually cost neutral, because there's actually a decent amount of cost associated to all of this. If you really do love the other things we do and you're not buying Conquest, we do have a Patreon as well. We do have some pretty cheap tiers for that as well. And the idea is, if you want to show that level of support, it's always there. I don't lock anything behind it. I'm probably going to start doing where battle reports show up there with a timed exclusivity, but then they're released to the general, just to be able to give a thank you for those who do support us in that way. Because again, they're the ones who keep the lights on here. All right, I think that's all the things. I'm tired of talking anyway. So on behalf of everyone here at the show, has a good hobbying. It's a great gaming.